The first sensation that we recall in life is touch. We remember or we experience the touch of our mother's hand. Babies have difficulty adjusting to life if they are separated from the mother's touch in the early days and weeks of development. And the last thing that we experience in the life of a loved one is often the final touch. If you've ever been in a sick room, in a hospice room, or in a room in your house as a loved one is leaving you through death, you know that the last thing that you let go of is the hand and the touch. It's odd because when you lose someone that you love, you maintain their words. I've got this weird thing. I've got a couple of messages on my phone that I've maintained from people that have passed. And every once in a while, I just like to listen to the message, hear their voice again. Because their voice, their words comforts me. But what I really miss is the touch. You see, that's what we lose when you lose someone that you love, is the touch. The touch gives assurance. The touch comforts. The touch is healing. Now, many of us were afraid of touch. We live in a world of words. And words are there because words endure. In fact, this week we're going to be celebrating. The 4th of July is a celebration of words. The Declaration of Independence were words. The 4th of July did not grant us independence. We had to fight a war afterwards. We weren't free yet. But we declared that we were. Our words said that we were. And the words are that which endures, right? What will you do on the 4th of July? You'll read the words. But unless you embrace the community, unless you understand the touch, you won't understand what it means to be free. Jesus continues to reach out to the world by the touch of the body of Christ. And in his ministry on earth, he healed, he touched, he walked with us, he ate with us. When he resurrected from the dead, Thomas touched his hands and his feet and his side. Touch was important, and it still is. But be careful, because touch is dangerous as well. Across this land, there are pastors that get into trouble because of touch, because of inappropriateness in touch. You see, there's danger there as well as healing. Touch is important. It's transformative. It's intimate and powerful. But touch has to be buoyed by a spirit. And the spirit that you touch someone with is what will endure. Jesus, when you experienced his touch, you experienced the touch of God. He healed with touch. And it wasn't just the body that was healed. The soul was healed. The community was healed. The mind was healed. Jesus' touch is still a powerful thing. When I was a young man, I knew of Jesus. I knew the story and I believed the story, but only when I was touched by Jesus did my life truly become transformed. People, many of the people in the church know, they know it cerebrally. They know it in a way in which they can repeat the story. They can tell you what the truth of the story is. But many in the church haven't experienced the touch of Jesus. And it's those that experience the touch of Jesus that are fully transformed. It can't be just head knowledge. It has to be the way we live. Think about all the things that we do that make a difference in touch. When a couple gets married, they take each other's hands. And the hands held together are a symbol that God is taking two and joining them into one. When one says yes to Jesus in salvation, we put him in water because touch is important. And yes, in last week when we had a baptism, we recognized that the laying on of hands is touch. And it's important. The passages that we read today are filled with touch. It begins by letting us know that Jesus is walking to heal a young lady. The father says, if you would only put your hands on her, she could be made well. She'll be healed and live if you just touch her. And so Jesus says, yes. And he went with him. And a large crowd followed. And in this movement from one place to the other, as they're walking from the place of contact to the place of contact, a woman who was not able to be touched crept up in a crowd. This woman, the Bible said, had a flow of blood. She had an issue in which all the doctors could not solve her problem. And because her issue was one that was an intimate issue, she was made and rendered unclean in her community. That understanding of being unclean meant that she was unable to touch a person without rendering them unclean. That's one of the dangers of touch. What do we say when someone's sick? I'm sick, don't touch me. Right? Don't shake hands, I'm sick. Don't hug me, I'm sick. Don't touch me, I'm contagious. If you touch me, you will get what I have. And this woman was deemed contagious, separated from the community, unable to touch. She could hear the voice of God, she could know the word of God, but she couldn't touch the community. And she was miserable and separated. And she followed after Jesus. And she thought, if I just touch the hem of his garment, just his clothes, I'll be healed. I don't need to touch his skin. I just need to get one of his cufflinks. Touch his tie. Lick the inside of his coffee cup. Something. I need to have a connection. People get weird with touch, don't they? And to this day, we still get weird with touch, don't we? Touch heals. She reached out and she touched him. And the power of God came through Jesus and healed her. And he knew that he had been touched, even though he had not been touched. Now, do you want to know why the church for years has collected things that touched Jesus? You know, you go into any village and they'll say, hey, this is a piece of the cross in Europe. They have them all over the place. You know, that cross must have been huge because the amount of pieces of the cross that are around Europe, they make for one big cross, right? But they'll have cloth that Jesus might have touched or something that might have, and it's valuable because guess what? It was valuable then. But we're a people who are more intelligent than that, right? We pay attention to the words. And so the big thing about this story always becomes the words of Jesus. Talitha kum. It's almost a magic word. Doesn't it sound like open sesame, Talitha kum, you know what I mean? You put something in a foreign language and it automatically sounds exotic and mystical and magical. So you go to a sick person, you say, Talitha kum. Maybe that'll work, right? You know what Talitha kum means? Little girl, get up. There's no magic to that. It's Jesus giving an order. It's like when I go, if I had daughters, I have sons. But if I had daughters and I walked into the bedroom in the morning for school, I'd say, Talitha kum. I mean, that's really what it is. It's no different than that. It's just, get up. Wake up. It's time to act. And guess what? The little girl, she woke up. But I want to make sure you notice something. We pay attention to the word. But what did Jesus do when he said Talitha kum? He took her by the hand and he said, Talitha kum, touch. Touch is important. We remember touch. I went home this weekend and I helped my brother David clear out some stuff from my parents' house. And what I found, David, he said, hey, Dan, you got to have this. It's my dad's Bible. And he handed it to me. And I opened it, and it's got his notes in it. It's got old bulletins, old worship bulletins, you know what I mean? You know, it's what your Bible looks like. You know, it's got the old worship bulletins, the old notes. It's got his notes, you know. Some of them are important, some of them aren't. But it's his. It was in his hands. It has his touch. We don't think touch matters. We'll tell you that it doesn't. We'll claim that we're better than that, that we're all about the mind and the spirit, but I'll tell you what. It's good to have something to touch, isn't it? And Jesus gives us something to touch. Still, and today. Now, one of the problems that we have in our world is that we still have things that are clean and unclean. There are still people that you don't want to touch. And unfortunately, in churches all around the world, there's people that are going to separate from other people because those people aren't quite right. You don't really want to be close to them. In the world of Jesus, to touch an untouchable was something that would render you untouchable. Let me tell you something about a little bit of a side note on this story. When the woman with the flow of blood touched Jesus, according to Jewish law, Jesus was rendered unclean by that. You see, in the Jewish world, unclean always beat clean. Always. If you were clean and then you got touched by someone who was unclean, you were unclean. It's one of the reasons why in the temple they had a place where you would clean yourself and then you would immediately walk into the temple if you were a Jewish believer, if you're a Jewish man, if you're a Jewish priest. They had the pools that you would wash yourself in to become ritually pure right there. In fact, Moses is instructed to build it, that they would have the tabernacle next to a body of water. The temple should be built next to a body of water. Why? Because you needed to be clean and then you needed to get there. You can't take a shower and then drive to work. Right? Because if you took a shower and then drove to work, what would happen? You'd touch all sorts of unclean stuff. You know, the lady hands you a coffee cup in Tim Hortons through the drive-thru, unclean, right? I mean, think about all the unclean things that you come into contact with. How many of you pumped gas this morning and then came to church? Unclean. Change a baby's diaper, unclean. Right? Guess what? The beauty of the gospel of Jesus Christ is I don't have to worry about unclean anymore. For the first time in human history, for the first time in Jewish understanding, clean beat unclean. Clean is the scissors, rock, and paper in Jesus Christ that beats everything else. Jesus beats unclean. Jesus beats disease. Jesus beats ritual impurity. Jesus beats sin. And guess what? Jesus beats death. Know it. Understand it. That the touch of Jesus transforms your life. It doesn't need anything more than that. Jesus wins. I like that. I live in that. My faith, my hope, my trust is embodied by that. When I sin, Jesus can clean me. When I hurt, Jesus can comfort me. And when I die, Jesus will raise me. There's nothing Jesus won't beat. And I want to make sure you know something. Jesus isn't gone. You see, when people die and they go to heaven, they're gone, right? We lose their touch. But Jesus told us something very specific. The gospel is filled with this. You are the body of Christ. Right? We say it. We glibly announce it. We're the body of Christ. What does that mean? You are the touch of God in Jesus Christ. Know it. Know that there's a dark side to that, because when people experience the church and the touch says unclean, it's the rejection of Jesus that they experience. And do you want to know why people are mad at the church sometimes? No one wants to be unclean. But when the church looks at people and says, you're loved. And yeah, you're a sinner. And yeah, you're going to die. And yeah, it's difficult in this world. And yeah, you might even be unclean right now. But guess what? Jesus made me clean. Jesus forgave my sin. And Jesus gave me life. I knew of him for years. And then he touched me. And my life was changed. You have power in your touch. And by the touch of a hand on the shoulder or another hand in yours, used for the sake and the mercy of God in Jesus Christ, shared in love and with the power of the Holy Spirit, your touch can also be transformative.